us, and good afternoon. This is Kestutis Davidas, and you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial, and of course, live streaming audio over the internet at ktym.com. Well, we want to thank you again for tuning into Independent Lithuanian Radio this afternoon. We appreciate you giving us a half an hour of your time, whether you're at home or in your car or listening on the internet. And, of course, we take this opportunity to bring you up to date on the weather in Lithuania, specifically at Vilnius, which is where you will land, most likely, if you're taking an international flight. And tomorrow it'll be sunny and 74 degrees. Beautiful day in Vilnius. And it'll be sunny and 75, 75, 74, 75 for the next 4 days. And it'll cool a little bit into the extended 10-day forecast, dropping to 66 with a slight chance of showers next Saturday the 14th and Sunday the 15th. And Sunday the 15th, of course, locally will be Father's Day, so don't forget your fathers. And we're going to take this opportunity to promote Eurodelimart Lituanica. Eurodelimart Lituanica is situated at 2838 Santa Monica Boulevard. That's the corner of Santa Monica Boulevard and Yale Streets in Santa Monica. And for those of you who are wondering where the heck is that, it's simply 28 blocks from the beach, and it's within a block of the California-Lithuanian Credit Union, which most of you are familiar with, and the offices of Roke & Mark Property Management, one of the largest independent property managers in the West Side, in Santa Monica in particular, and staffed by many Lithuanian-speaking employees. So once again, visit Eurodelimart Lituanica. It has a great selection of Lithuanian food products, graduation products, barbecue sauces. If you're going to grill on Father's Day, there are an incredible selection of Lithuanian grilling sausage. Of course, there's also chocolates and cakes for graduation, cakes from Latvia, ice cream, and more. Now, this is quick frozen and dropped in a container and shipped here to Southern California. So it's not made here in the Lithuanian style. It's actually imported from Lithuania. And, of course, don't forget some delicious, authentic Lithuanian, made in Lithuania, dry bread, as much as five different varieties. And that's just a touch of what's available at Eurodelimart Lituanica, corner of Santa Monica Boulevard and Yale, within a block of the California-Lithuanian Credit Union. And keep in mind that we work 7 days a week. We are open 7 days a week for your convenience. By the way, speaking of Eurodelimart Lithuanica, Algis Porčius is one of our employees there, and Algis Porčius just celebrated a happy birthday on June 6th, which happens to be the anniversary of D-Day, and he's usually working at the Eurodelimart, so say hi to Al, wish him a happy birthday, and drop by and pick up something for your taste buds at Eurodelimart Lithuanica. This June 7th, that's today, school ends at St. Casimir's Parish Grounds. Every Saturday school ends, so that it's the official closing of school. And next week will be the graduation of the graduation class at St. Casimir's. Let me see here. Amongst the graduates will be Arnoldas Giedraitis, Tomas Gulbinas, Aras Kazlauskas, Giedrius Kerežis, Viltė Matulevičiūtė, Kristina Narbutienė, Kristina Pečiulytė, Geiste Vaičiūnaitė, Andrius Vaitkevičius, and Paula Vandersleis. Now, you know, it's a small class, and it's always a small class, but we are so proud of them because these are the people that have gone through the whole program and that carry the Lithuanian traditions into the future. So once again, we congratulate the graduating class of St. Kazimierz for 2014, and graduation ceremonies will be next week on the 14th of June. Finally, we want to remind you that tomorrow, that's tomorrow, June 8th, on at St. Kazimierz Parish Hall, that is, at 12:45 in the afternoon, will be the Jaunimo Švente, the 58th annual traditional youth ensemble presentation, where they'll be previewing some of the songs and dances that they'll be performing at, of course, the huge dance and song festival, specifically the song festival, which will happen basically in the first week of July in Lithuania. Anyway, our very own Spindulys will perform for you. It won't cost you anything. We just need you to show up and support our youth. Of course, donations are accepted, but basically you show up and you have a great time. You see all the youth in their beautiful costumes all made up, smiling for you, and just having a wonderful afternoon at St. Kazimierz Parish Grounds. Again, that's tomorrow at about 12:30 in the afternoon. Rain or shine, of course, it's going to be shiny and beautiful, and that'll be at 12:30 St. Kazimierz Parish Grounds, corner of Griffith Boulevard and St. George Streets. That's the corner of Griffith Park Boulevards and St. George Streets in the Silver Lake, Las Vilas District. If you want any more information about Spindulys, the Lithuanian youth ensemble, call Danguolė Varnienė at 818-249-7574, 818-249-7574. I was a part of this. My wife was a part of this. My children were a part of this. Several generations have been a part of this, and the generations continue. The new immigrants are now joining in with the youth ensemble. So, again, it is growing. It is alive. It is vibrant, and it is definitely worth seeing. Once again, that's tomorrow at about 12:30 in the afternoon, corner of Griffith Park Boulevard in St. George Street, in full costume, full Lithuanian traditional costume. The Lithuanian youth ensemble known as LB Spindulys will perform for you. For more information, one more time, call Danguolė at 818-249-7574. Now, they will be again performing and participating in the song festival in Lithuania. The Lithuanian song celebration is a cultural phenomenon, and it's a continual creative process. As a matter of fact, the Lithuanians say it is spiritually equal to the ancient Greek Olympic Games. On the 7th of November, back in 2003, UNESCO proclaimed the tradition of song and dance celebration in Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia as, quote, a masterpiece of the oral and intangible heritage of humanity. And in 2008, it has been inscribed in the UNESCO representative list of the intangible cultural heritage of humanity. Now, here's exactly what it says on the UNESCO website. Okay, UNESCO puts it as both a repository and a showcase for the region's tradition of performing folk art. That's performing folk art. The cultural expression culminates in large-scale festivals every fifth year in Estonia and Latvia, and every fourth year in Lithuania. These grand events, held over several days, assemble as many as 40,000 singers and dancers. For the most part, the participants belong to amateur choirs and dance groups. Their repertoires reflect the wide range of musical traditions in the Baltic states, from the most ancient folk songs to contemporary compositions by contemporary authors. Directed by professional choir conductors, band leaders, and dance instructors, many of these singers and dancers practice throughout the year or more in community centers and local cultural institutions. Choirs and musical ensembles first became institutionalized in Estonia during the 18th century. Subsequently, choir singing spread throughout rural and urban areas, spurred on by the growing popularity of choral music, singing groups and societies, and song festivals in Western Europe, particularly in Switzerland at the time, with the participation of the most active choirs from various regions of these states. The Baltic Song and Dance Celebrations were initially organized in Estonia in 1869 and in Latvia in 1873. Lithuania hosted its first celebration back in 1924. Once the Baltic states gained independence from Russia after the First World War, the celebrations acquired widespread popularity as a means of asserting their true Baltic cultural identity. In the three countries, special venues and festival sites were constructed to host these events. Even after the incorporation of the Baltic states into the Soviet Union at the end of World War II, the celebrations adapted to the prevailing communist ideology when necessary. So how did it all begin? Well, at a meeting of a few initiators hosted on the 22nd of December in 1923 at the Ministry of Education of the Republic of Lithuania, a composer, Juozas Ilevičius, announced that there were over 100 choirs that declared their willingness to participate if there ever were to be this song celebration. So at the meeting on the 23rd of February 1924, a couple months later, it was decided to title the upcoming event Song Day. Through the 7th to the 28th of July, following the pre-announced schedule, principal conductors Stasys Šimkus and Julius Štarka had visited 31 locations in order to inspect the preparedness and quote-unquote professionalness of these choirs. 11,842 tickets, let me repeat that, 11,842 tickets were sold to the first day of the celebration and almost 8,000 to the second one back in 1924. So the first Song Day was held on the 23rd and 25th of August 1924 in Kaunas. At the Exhibition Square, 86 choirs with 3,000 participants, 3,000 singers participated. The principal conductors of the song of the day were Nojalis, Šimkus, and Štarka. The choirs performed 36 songs, 22 classic folk songs, and 14 new authentic songs by Lithuanian composers. Along with the choirs of cities and district centers, the church choirs of Antašava, Jakė, Kavasarkis, Kybartai, Klovainiai, Krakas, and many others participated. The second Lithuanian song celebration drew over 6,000 singers and was held on July 1st, 1928. The program consisted of 21 composers. Now, I could go on and on. The third celebration commemorated the 500th death of Vytautas Magnus. The first celebration held in Klaipeda was in 1927, and it goes on and on. In 1935, the first international folk dance festival was organized in London, where Lithuanians participated, and there were also dancers from Germany, Czechoslovakia, and Sweden, as it was the international. Now, when we come to modern times, the first Lithuanian song and dance celebration included Lithuanian immigrants from the USA, Canada, Austria, Argentina, Germany, Poland, Latvia, Ukraine, Russia, and Belarus, and that was held in 1994. 1,200 immigrant singers, dancers, and musicians performed with 26,000 Lithuanian performers, okay? Get that? 26,000 Lithuanian performers. As a matter of fact, if you were there, the streets were deserted because all of the people were the performers, mostly young people. Okay, 1,200 immigrant singers, dancers, and musicians performed together with 26,000 Lithuanians. In memory of the organizers of the first song celebration of 1924, one of the song's programs was rendered at the Kaunas Valley of Songs, and the composition dedicated to the Lithuanian song celebrations was solemnly presented. Over 31,000 Lithuanian performers took part in the 1998 World Lithuanian Song Celebration. Okay? And that was dedicated to the celebration of the 80th anniversary of the Lithuanian states. 31,000. 1,000 performers. 1,100 singers and dancers and musicians had come also to visit from Belarus, Poland, Russia, Latvia, Georgia, Austria, Brazil, UK, Germany, and the Ukraine. So, again, this just keeps getting bigger and better, and this year it promises just to blow everybody away, beginning in the last days of June and ending on June 6th, 2014. Just to give you a quick overview of it, on the 28th at 6 o'clock in the evening, the 90th anniversary of the National Song and Dance Celebration will again open in Kaunas in the Valley of the Songs, and then events will truly kick off on the 2nd of July in Vilnius with the opening concert at Cathedral Square out in the open. So that ought to be beautiful. Then it'll go on with events at Kulnay Park, Ensembles Evening on July 3rd, Folklore Day in the Castle area, Parade of Costumes on July 4th. July 5th, there will be the Dance Day, and that's when everybody goes out on the field and dances at Vingis Park, and the end of ceremonies and celebrations comes to a head on July 6th. So hopefully you've made plans this summer to go to Lithuania, because this is an event not to miss. Again, there will probably be thousands and tens of thousands of participants, mostly young people, and it's always a great time, and it makes you proud to be a Lithuanian. We'll be right back. Well, we're back now, and we're going to switch over from talking about the wonderful festivals going on this year, this summer in Lithuania, mostly involving young people, thousands, tens of thousands of them, and go on to some of the reality that's coming down. Now, I've been criticized by a couple people about being sort of kind of anti-EU. You know, it's just, I don't know, sometimes I wonder if a little sovereignty gets given away by joining this, you know, multi-supra-state organization. But I don't live in Lithuania, so, you know, I express my opinion, but I sort of hold it back in the sense that if I lived there, perhaps I'd feel differently. We've talked about polling that says many Lithuanians aren't ready or excited or want to become full members of the EU, and I have to take that back and be clear. Lithuania is a member of the EU, but it has not yet adopted the euro. And in recent polling, many people have said they have their doubts about dropping litas, the Lithuanian currency, and going to the euro. On the other hand, recently that polling is changing. Now more than half of the people polled say that they favor dropping the litas and going to the European currency known as the euro. And that will happen, all else being equal, effective January 1st, 2015. Anyway, here's the story from this week, June 4th. Lithuania ready to join the euro in 2015, according to the EU Commission. Lithuania is set to adopt the euro on January 1st, 2015, after the European Commission said that it had finally met the criteria for joining the single currency. It would become the 19th member of the eurozone out of 28 countries in the EU and the last of the Baltic states to join. The Commission said in its report that a formal decision, of course, would be announced by EU governments next month, but it all looks like a go. The UK and Denmark are the only EU states with opt-outs from the euro. Remember, the British Isles, the UK, and Denmark said, forget it, we're keeping our own currency, and they are opting out of the euro. That being said, all other countries are expected to join. Estonia was the first Baltic state to become a member of the Eurozone in 2011, followed by Latvia on the 1st of January 2014. Lithuanian President Dalia Grybauskaitė, on a visit to Poland, welcomed the decision. We'll be in the club of the strongest. We'll be able to take part in the decisions ourselves. Currently, we feel that we're on the wrong side of the door. Looking forward to dropping the existing currency known as the Litas, Prime Minister Algirdas Butkevičius said joining the euro also gave Lithuania added security in the face of the Ukrainian crisis. Prospective members have to meet convergence criteria, which are also assessed by the European Central Bank, which requires, amongst other things, quote, sound government finances with deficits no higher than 2-3% of GDP, sustainable public finances with government debt no greater than 60% of GDP, price stability, low inflation. And in its assessment, the ECB warned that keeping inflation low in Lithuania will be, quote, challenging in the short to medium term. Lithuania tried to join the euro earlier but was badly affected by the financial crisis and inflation. However, EU Economics Affairs Commissioner Olli Rehn praised the economic reforms adopted by the Vilnius government. Quote, that reform momentum, driven in part by Lithuania's EU accession 10 years ago, has led to a striking increase in Lithuania's prosperity, he said in closing statements. Now, on the sad news side, and this is a little depressing, and it's not a surprise, you know, anybody listening to this should not be surprised, but it is depressing. Schools face dwindling numbers of students. The Lithuanian Statistics Department has announced, based on data from the Center of Information Technologies of Education, that in the last 10 years, the number of students attending schools in the country has decreased by over 250,000, 253,000 to be exact, or 31%. So that's over a quarter of a million less students in just a decade. This reflects a drop in the number of inhabitants in Lithuania, no kidding, with its direct effect on the number of pupils in education institutions. From 2004 through 2008, the number of students fell on average by 21,000 a year, and from 2009 to 2013, the rate of decline increased to 34,000 annually. According to Lithuanian Statistics Department, at the beginning of 2013, school year, there were 552,000 students. This is by 26,000 or 4.6% lower than the 2012 student year. At the beginning of 13-14 student school year, 357,000 pupils studied in general education establishment. This figure is lower by 4% or 16,000 compared to the previous year. The students at higher education establishment has been decreasing since 2009. At the beginning of 13, 148,000 students studied in Lithuanian higher education institutions. Of them, 105,000 studied in universities and 43,000 in colleges. This was 11,000 or 7% lower than the year before. Now, these numbers go on and on and on, simply repeating the obvious. We are running out of people. Now, here's a little story that you sort of don't expect to see, but, you know, I kind of found it interesting. You know, a different take. There is a professor, Algimantas Kasparavičius. He's a pretty well-known academic and historian, but he takes a different view on a lot of things. He tends to be a bit controversial. But anyway, historian Algimantas Kasparavičius believes that Lithuania's propensity to be on the lookout for enemies, okay, is a sign of weakness. Now, you got Russia on the border. You got Russia invading Ukraine, taking Crimea. And he says that Lithuania's propensity to be on the lookout for enemies is a sign of weakness, which proves Lithuania's immaturity. Quote, a search for enemies does not show Lithuania's political and cultural maturity. Usually only those governments which need to radically mobilize their society are on the lookout for enemies. Without having a clear image of the enemy, they struggle to remain in power and find it difficult to communicate with their citizens. It is a sign of weakness and fear, Kasparavičius said on an interview on News Radio Monday. According to him, Lithuania is behaving like Stalin and Hitler, who are always looking for enemies at their doorstep. This past half year, the things we see happening in the public space, in the country's political rhetoric, and in the media have all been stimulating this so-called information war. Let us remember that back in the spring and summer of 2013, when Poland was being highly criticized, then from the end of 2013, Russia has returned to first place. The historian said that the search for enemies can be identified as a characteristic of schizophrenia. When the country has no opportunities to stimulate progress inside of itself, the ensuing lookout for an enemy strengthens the security of the state. The more we search for enemies, the less secure our country is. I think Lithuania was more secure in 2004 and 2005 than it is now in 2013 and 2014, added Kasparavičius. Well, no kidding. Back then, Russia was not annexing Crimea and causing and fomenting revolution in the Ukraine. And finally, we're running a lot of time, but there's an article by Zille, Mr. Zille, I'm looking for his first name, Roberts Zille. He's a Latvian. Quote, Latvia may be a NATO and European member state, but we are in the grip of our eastern neighbor. Russia's influence over Latvia has to be lessened openly, immediately, and with certainty. Following a Greens and Farmers Union suggestion, the coalition is scheduled to review this issue connected with Zille's statement that appeared in his campaign advertisement. Quote, we have to be aware of the fact that no NATO Article 5. Now, Article 5 says that an attack on one NATO member is an attack on all. And that's what Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia sort of lean on, the fact that if any of them were attacked, the United States and other NATO countries would help. But anyway, we have to be aware of the fact that no NATO Article 5, he says, will save us if we let ourselves fall into the grip of Russia, as has happened before. NATO is helping us to guard our territory. Article 5 stipulates an attack on one is an attack on all. The situation is different with Russia's growing economic and political influence over our country. That's Latvia. He says Latvia must preserve its economic sovereignty. He says that if we look at the Ukrainian crisis, Russia has proved to the world once again that it uses natural gas as a political and economic weapon. Russian investments clearly demonstrate what power they have. Latvia must learn from the mistake of others, and this time of geopolitical uncertainty is the right moment to enhance our energy and independence, he goes on to say. Anyway, everyone's worried, Zita's worried, and Latvia has a huge Russian minority. Let's not forget that. We've run out of time. This is Kęstutis Reividas for Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. Don't forget, for graduation and for all sorts of end-of-the-year parties, Euro Deli Mart Lituanica, 2838 Santa Monica Boulevard, corner of Santa Monica and Yale, has a great, delicious selection of real, authentic Lithuanian food imported from Lithuania. Visit them. This is, again, Kęstutis Reividas at KTYN.com. Tune in next week. Iki pasimatymo. Bye-bye.